Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want you to know something this morning, that you've got to get used to not having another dead church service. Because being in the last days, and it doesn't take a theologian to really see the signs of the times that we are in, the what I call the last of the last days, heaven is going to be a glorious place. And you're not going to be bored. There's going to be things that happen. Now, yes, you won't see the manifestation of healing, because healing's there. Praise God. But here is where you're going to see a lot of those things. And in my life growing up in the ministry, even being a ranching cowboy, wow, seen a lot of great things. How God has miraculously done. I remember one time, and a lot of you know, I was doing a service, and most everybody knows Kelly Macy used to be the widow of the famous bull rider Lane Frost before he was killed in Cheyenne. She remarried a rancher in Post, Texas. Great friends of ours. And me and Kelly went and did a little, always like a camp meeting. And a camp meeting, y'all, is nothing other than, like in the old days, you just get around the old campfire and sing songs and then preach the word, hopefully. And so we were at this place, and it was like Talpa, Texas, up in the panhandle. It's Vega, Texas. Thanks, Jane. Thank God for a good wife. Vega. I've been so many places, though, so they all kind of, you know. I'm sure it happened in Talpa, too. Amen. And so we were ministering, and then Kelly came up, gave her testimony about being married to a famous cowboy, and they made a movie about him. Hopefully a lot of y'all have seen 8 Seconds, you know. But at the end of it, it was just like this church, because there was one of every denomination there. The Baptist sat a little further to the back. That's what I was raised, so I know. The little Southern Baptist boy. The fired up crazies, those Pentecostals or the Assembly of God. You know, they sit at the front because they want the spit coming on you. Amen. The Methodists were scattered out, you know. And at the end of the service, Kelly said, man, God just wants to heal a lot of people here in different ways. And so I just invited anybody that just wanted to be healed by the power of God. And I just preached on it. I just preached on how the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, we're either going to believe that or not. Now, I was raised in some churches growing up that they didn't believe that God healed all people. And I got to thinking about that. Or sometimes I heard that God took away healing with the old covenant. And I was like, well, that don't make sense, because Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the reason people don't get healed, or you don't see a lot of miraculous things today, even in America, is because people don't believe it. Well, we just happen to be believers. Amen. And so when I invited anybody that just wanted to receive the healing power of God, here they come. But the first one to my left was a woman in a wheelchair. And y'all have to understand me. I'm thinking in my mind, Father, why couldn't you have started with someone with a hurt toenail, not someone with a wheelchair? Anyway, so here she comes, and her legs were tiny. The town knew her. I didn't. Kelly Macy didn't know her. And I looked at her, and I said, do you want to walk? And she, with the faith of God, said, yes, I do. And so I just stepped back, and I said, well, then walk in Jesus' name. But before that, the Lord says, you know, where the Bible says, speak to the mountain, command that mountain, whatever the mountain is, to be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart. Just believe the things which you say will come to pass. That's faith. And you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. Now, it has to line up with the Word of God. Okay? And so, the Spirit of God just as... And it reminds me of when we're singing and we're into worship. I want to hear from God. Well, the Spirit of God put into my mind because I have the mind of Christ. Amen? Because a lot of people get so confused. Was that God? Was that me? Was that the devil? You know. Well, if you have the mind of Christ, you're going to be able to discern if it's good, which comes from above, God, or if it's bad, which comes from the devil. And even if it comes from you, if you have the mind of Christ, then it's under the Spirit of God. Amen? And so the Spirit of the Lord just quickened in my mind. I want you to tap her legs, tap them, and command them to wake up in Jesus' name. Not in the name of Corey Ross, but in the name of the Lord Jesus, who has the name above all names, right? That's what we've been studying. And so I did that. And she's in her wheelchair, and I just said, leg, wake up in Jesus' name. And then I did the other leg, wake up in Jesus' name. And then I backed up and I said, ma'am, you want to walk? She said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's the faith she had. Just like that. Yes, I do. And I said, well, then get up and walk in Jesus' name. Boy, she flipped that old pedal that her foot was on and this one. And she got up. And when she got up, her legs started doing this. Because remember, they're tiny, had no muscle. Y'all know me. I'm thinking to myself, oh, Jesus, she's going to fall down, lawsuit. You see, because sometimes in the mind you can be full of doubt, but in her mind she was full of faith, praise God. Now, I didn't say what I was thinking. I just was going to have to trust God. So I backed up and I said, walk in Jesus' name. And boy, she started one at a time. Now, all the Baptists and the Methodists were in the back on top of their chairs standing. Oh my God. You know, they'd never seen anything like that before. You see, we should be seeing those kind of things in this church. And at the next church down the road, we are to be seeing the power of God being demonstrated to us that believe. This is the Bible, y'all. You should pick it up and read it. It's a good book. These signs shall follow them that believe. We've just got to start believing. And I'm telling you, the whole row of people, there were people that got healed of cancer, went to the doctor that week, and sent me word that the doctors were like, I don't know what happened. I mean, just miraculous things like that should be, well, they should be happening right here. So that word, thank you. Because that's a part of how we should all be watching and seeing things in these last days. Not defeat constant. Not defeat. We're not moved by what happened at that ball game. We're not moved by a bad rodeo here and there, a knockdown barrel or you know, missing a steer or getting bucked off a bull. You know what we're moved by? The Word of God. And the Word of God is real and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? All right. Where are we? What are we? Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to me. It's an honor to have new people here. Did I not finish something? We're good? Yeah, my wife said we can go home after that. Wait a minute. It's only 10 after 11. I still got time. Hey, listen, it's an honor to have new people here. Appreciate you coming. You could have gone to any church that you passed coming here. We're 4.5 miles from town. God is doing some great things here in a barn, in a metal building that's paid for. I want to thank you for coming. And so what we do here at Cowboy Church is we welcome you. Hopefully when you came in, they spotted you as maybe someone they hadn't seen before and they gave you a visitor packet. If they didn't, I want to get you one right now. But if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind just right where you're at? Would you mind to just let us see you by raising your hand and let us clap for you? Amen. Thanks for coming. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you coming. Honor to have you guys. Appreciate it. I know y'all are scared. A lot of people they come and want to visit, and But here's the thing. I always want you to be where you're planted. And if this is you don't have to be a cowboy to come to cowboy churches. Really, cowboy church is a bait. Because the Western people they're used to deer and horses and cattle, and they feel like if you don't have a suit and tie on, you're not welcomed in church. And we found out that just come as you are. Amen. You're welcome no matter what. You might come right out of work and right off of work or whatever, and it's an honor to have you. Amen. So, would y'all give the new people one more round of applause, please? All right. Now, do the same. Go ahead, fellas. Enthusiasm. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Now, for all the new people, and again, if you're new here, we're a very young church, about almost 18 years in May. So we're relatively new compared to churches I grew up in that were over 100 years old, and they were established. And praise God that here's a new one that God is just continuing to grow. We have lots of people that are members of this church that sometimes rodeo or they're in sports and aren't here. But one thing we do here is we talk about finances for about 5 minutes every single service, and here's why. I grew up, as most of y'all know, in the denominations that never said anything about money, tithing. They always felt that it might split a church. And I never understood that, because here I'm supposed to be, and you're going to hear about this today, an imitator of Christ. And the Bible says he had a treasure that took care of his finances. He owned all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Going to college, I had to have a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship. I had a student loan, a Pell Grant. I had a job. And then one day I was wondering, what does the Bible actually say about money? Does God want us to be poor? Because most preachers read that one scripture that Jesus became poor and we need to imitate him. Well, once I found out and started reading that scripture, the Bible said Jesus became poor so that we could be rich. Now, don't get caught up in just being rich financially, but don't leave that out. How many of you know it's going to take finances to bless someone this Christmas? I mean, we have people in our church, and he didn't give me permission to say, but he sent a special offering just to go to someone that's in need for this Christmas. And it happens every year. Well, that's what this church does. We give a lot. People, there used to be a man that called every single month needing new tires. You know, just got used to it and then took advantage of it. But that's because he heard of our heart. We give a lot. I don't take a salary at this church, so it's enabled me to teach on this. So I want to give you one scripture that all of you know. John 3:16. For God so, say it with me loud. Loved. Say it again. God so loved the world that he what? He gave. The reason that it was an honor to have the football team here and feed them and then give a donation to the Booster Club is because I love children. I love watching them play. I love watching my son rope. Matter of fact, I get more nervous when he ropes than when I rope. You know, you have to operate in agape love in order to be a blessing to someone else. Because you won't give if you don't operate in love. God so loved the world that he gave a Jesus. And he didn't have to give our Savior. I mean, no, I'm not giving someone my coat. I'm just hot. So, he gave his only begotten Son. Well, I don't know about y'all, but that was the greatest gift that he could have ever given. Because He gave us a gift that redeemed us from the curse of the law. He gave us, because of love, He gave us the greatest gift that causes us to operate not by the law of I have to serve God. If I sin, I die. No, He gave us a Jesus that now we walk in His mercy, in His grace, in His forgiveness. And now that's not permission to sin. But listen to me. It was all because of love that we have the forgiveness of sin. A blood that covers a multitude of sin. I don't know about y'all, but it's time we start walking in love. So when you give finances to a church, to a ministry, to someone that just needs it during Christmas, you operate that way because of the love of God that lives on the inside of you. Amen. So y'all that are going to come give in these buckets, come on, give with love and a big old shout of praise. Amen. Come on. We got a special? We have a special? Amen.
I don't seek treasures that soon will be gone, but you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
Where Jesus is. way. Dutiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the
good job. You did good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Loved it. Loved it. You remind me of my grandma, because she always wanted to sing. And she it didn't matter when. And that you remind me of her, because you just want to keep letting the joy of the Lord shine. And I really, really appreciate it. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Honored to do it. Yeah, I love it. If you got a gift, we got some talented people at this church. So, hey, by the way, tonight, just before I dismiss our youth group, and if you're a youth, don't miss getting to be with your peers. Our youth pastors, they have a great time, and they don't kid around. They preach, but to get those youth and then our children's church that are fixing to leave as well, to be together and receiving, you know, not necessarily having to get into some deep stuff of the Word. Man, they get some deep stuff in there, believe it or not. And so, but before we send them out, I just wanted to edify you, build you up, and let you know that God is so gracious, and He wants to impart something into every person's life this morning, if you'll let Him. Amen? So with a big round of applause, kids' church and youth group are dismissed out the back end. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you brought your Bible? Let me see all the Bibles. Raise your Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all got Bibles? If y'all don't have Bibles, learn to bring them if they stay at home, because it's important, I believe, in these days that we truly see with our own eyes what does the Bible say. There's lots of translations of the Bible. You have, just personally, I love the King James with the Amplified beside it. And if I see all the these thous and thuses in the King James, then I can go to the Amplified, and it makes it, you know, a little easier. And so if you're a part of this church, I'd really suggest you get Amplified and King James side by side. And you'll be able to carry on. But if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to a book that we've been in for a few weeks now, in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The other morning I was sitting in a little couch just at the end of our bed, and I yelled into my wife. I said, "Has the Lord laid anything on your heart? I need a message." You know, I preach so much everywhere, steer rope and national finals, or we just got back from Las Vegas where I ministered at the Mandalay Bay, and lots of a big crowd. It was really well attended, I felt like. And a lot of those contestants that you watch for 10 nights try to win, you know, 14 million. A lot of them were there. Matter of fact, all of the bullfighters were at my service. And a very close friend with mine was the one that was at the ninth round, I believe. Bull stepped on his leg and broke it, and so they had to have surgery, and he'll be out for about 6 months. Now, the last time that happened, And I had this on my heart. It was when the pandemic hit and no one could do anything. And all those rodeo people lost lots of work. Matter of fact, some of y'all lost a lot of work when they made us stay home. And of course, that's why you're seeing an awakening right now, that it's time that the government doesn't control you and I any longer, and you and I are controlled by the Spirit of God. So, as y'all know, our church never shut down. Matter of fact, it tripled in size because people were searching in Austin for a church that was open. And we preached, as y'all know, against the spirit of fear and things like that. And so I gave, I took up an offering for a rodeo clown. And that's just his business. He's a barrel man that goes to all those big rodeos. And he's the one they call the funny man. Well, just in one weekend, because he's a very big, barrel man of the year, you know, and big in the professional rodeo, he lost like $17,000 in one weekend. And so we took up an offering and blessed him. Well, I'm going to do the same thing for Dusty Tuckness, the bullfighter. Since you're out, he does Cheyenne. He does every major rodeo. And we're going to take up eventually. We're not going to do it today, but we're going to just bless that boy. And so, but doing a lot of these services, I asked Jamie, I said, you got anything on your heart? I need a message for this morning. Well, I'd already went and continued on here in Philippians chapter 2, because most of you know I started at the first part of it, and I started teaching all of us, and when I preach, and I tell this even when I travel, when I preach to me, because I figure if I need it, then everybody else probably will. Amen? So I preach to me. And I started really ministering on how God gave Jesus a name above every name. And we started really dealing with the name that's above all names. And then, you know, it goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, one day every knee is going to bow and confess that he's Lord. Well, then it talks about in three realms where that's going to happen: in heaven, on earth, and then in hell, under the earth. One day, every single person is going to have to kneel down and confess that Jesus is Lord. So here we are trying to hopefully have people do it right here on earth. Amen. You don't want to do it in hell. Say amen to that. It's hot. That's a hot place, man. You don't want to confess him as Lord in hell, because you're still going to live for eternity in that place. And so we're here preaching the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit would just begin to draw all of us to him. And that's why we give our lives to Jesus. And hopefully everybody in this place, or the ones that are watching right now, have asked Jesus to come into their life and save them. And so we begin to talk about those kind of things, how Jesus has a name above every name. The name cancer, Jesus' name is above that name. So it doesn't have to be the final authority in your life. Depression, the loss of something, it does not have to rule you, because Jesus that lives on the inside of you has the name above all names. Okay? And we begin to talk about that. And then I skipped down because I preached at the national finals about being the light of the Lord Jesus, because it talks about that all the way down in about verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you, it uses ye, but that's us, among whom ye shine as the lights in the world. And we begin to talk about that. But then I decided, when Jamie shot out this message, she just said, you know what you ought to preach on? And I walked into the bathroom where she was, and I said, what? And she said, you ought to talk about the influence that there is out there in that world, but how we need to be influenced by Jesus. And I said, look at this, because I just read it. And I read the scripture that we're about to read in Philippians chapter 2. Are all of y'all there? Say amen. I want you to just read with me, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. This is the Apostle Paul talking here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now look at it in the Amplified, verse 12 again, Philippians 2. Therefore, my dear ones. Now he's talking to believers right here. As you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Without, listen to this, without cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, which is self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. In other words, God's wanting us to get away from all the temptations that draw us away from the Spirit of God and cause us to stay engrafted into the presence of God where the blessing of God is. Because if we get into the blessing of God, you've already understood that you serve the name that's above every name. You already understand that His name, that dunamis power of God, His name's above all things that might be going on in our lives. And now, God is trying to help us not be influenced and enticed and tempted by all the other things that are drawing us away from the presence of God, from the power of God, from seeing the manifestations of God, like healing. Because how many of you know the enemy does not want you healed? You understand that, right? Mike, turn this mic down just a tad bit. I feel like I'm echoing. I hear myself. Because if I get real excited and start to raise my voice a little bit, I don't want you to get scared. Wait a minute. You don't have the spirit of fear, though. You got the spirit of power, though. Now listen to me. If you're influenced in ways, and this is what Jamie was talking about, and she mentioned this old thing like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, I told Jamie yesterday, I said, it popped up on my phone that my screen time has been up over 15%. And I said, the reason why is because I'm deleting all the junk emails that I keep getting. I mean, I'm getting all kinds of stuff. And sometimes stuff comes up on that phone that is like, wow, how'd that get there? And I mean, and what it's destined to do and designed to do is draw you and in your mind to something else. But how many of you know, here the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us, after we've already learned that we serve the name that's above every name, after we already know that there's so much power, the dunamis power of God, the same power, remember we all learned this, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that you and I have because of the Jesus, the Savior, the Christ that lives on the inside of us, that we're led by. Remember, when you give your life to Jesus, you gotta get a hold of this, because listen, everything good comes from above, God. And if you ever understand this, you'll be able to serve God a whole lot easier. Everything good comes from above. Everything bad comes from the enemy. Okay? God is good. Say it with me. God is... The devil is bad. Okay? If you understand those two things, you'll be able to serve the Lord a lot easier. Because that means when bad things are happening, it is not God that's doing it. Oh, we've been religiously taught that, you know, God will humble you. God will, He will strike you down if you do some bad things. Matter of fact, I was raised where it constantly was confessed to me that I was not worthy. And I bet a lot of people in here has heard the same thing. You're not worthy, brother. We're not worthy. Or again, and I just dislike when people come up to me when I say, how you doing? And they say, better than I deserve. That is not a good confession, to be real honest. I know it means well, and they really don't understand what they're saying, to be honest. Because you deserve everything. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You are an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. All the principles of God are for you and not against you. You're the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are someone in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, you can do all things through Christ. And you can't win that game by yourself. You can do it. You're a winner. You're not a loser. You're a believer and not a doubter. All we've got to do is start getting our faith up and not be tempted and influenced away from the Spirit of God because of the adversary, because of the trials or the tribulations. And man, tune into the Spirit of God that has a name above all those names. And when you speak the name of Jesus, I've had to do it many, many times. As I'm driving down the road, or as things are coming against me, believe it or not, the enemy has tried to shut down this church. You know why? Because there's power by preaching the name that's above every name. I don't want to sleep in church any longer. Growing up, we had the good old bed pew that we slept in. I want to see the results and the power of my believing. Now, I don't want to get away from the Word of God because a lot of people do. No, I want to live by the Word, the power, dunamis, the power of God, so that I see results when I'm praying. What about someone that was hurt? Maybe there was a breakup and you were hurt in your life. Are you going to live by that hurt? Or are you going to receive what the Bible says and get delivered from the hurts of this life and cast all that hurt upon the Lord? Are you going to live by being done wrong back when, so that every time you see someone, you're tempted and influenced to treat them tacky or to run away from them out of fear or disgust or whatever? Or are you going to get delivered and walk in the glorious love of God that forgives and washes all sins away? You see, we're influenced by a lot of things, by what we see on that telephone, what we hear on our radios. And the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us, be watchful against temptation. Shrink away, this is the Amplified, from whatever might offend God. Well, there's a lot of things that could offend God. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that is a downer. No. But we've got to talk about understanding that Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says that we're justified by faith. And I know that Judge Stout, that plays the piano usually, unless she's working like today, she understands justification. Because a judge, when they... what's that little gavel and they hit a little piece of wood or something? When it goes down and hits it, whatever has been agreed to is final. I mean, if she has I've never done this, y'all. Okay? Y'all hear me? But if I was to go to her and say, would you mind to dismiss this speeding ticket, please? I mean, pretty please? Now, she told me she would. If I ever had to, I just hadn't had to. But when she dismisses it, it's final. I mean, it's gone. Okay, think about this real fast. We're influenced by a lot of things that tries to make us guilty. Now, sometimes we do the wrong thing. You have to understand, because of what Jesus did, because of Him being crucified, Him being beaten before He was crucified, because the third day He was raised from the dead, Jesus, it has changed everything in a believer's life, that we don't have to be guilt-ridden any longer. No, we walk in grace and the mercy of God. And matter of fact, when you say, God, forgive me of something that I did back when, God does not remember it any longer when you repent and you say, God, forgive me. Yes, I understand. We all understand that people do remember, right? But the greatest thing is God doesn't. Okay, so the influencer is trying to get us away from the blessing of God. And here, the Apostle Paul is trying to say, no. Stay hooked in the kingdom of God, God's ways of doing things, and understand that you're justified, which means that you're acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. That's what that word justified means. You are acquitted. Because of what Jesus did for all of us, we're acquitted. I mean, the gavel's already been stricken on the piece of wood. We are forgiven no matter what we do. Now, don't take advantage of that. Don't take advantage of thank God that Jesus has already forgiven me of what I'm about to do. No. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. Y'all want me to teach y'all that real fast? Real fast. Listen. The kingdom of God, this is in Matthew 6 and 33. Y'all want to see that? Matthew 6 and 33. Okay? Everybody thinks that when you commit fornication or adultery or, you know, do all those things, and then it declares here, It declares that in some of the epistles, it says if you do such things, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And everybody always goes to, I won't make heaven. Now, you have to understand that when Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is a place, y'all. There's also a method on how we're supposed to live here on earth as we, you know, as it is in heaven. Remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Just because someone does something wrong, doesn't mean you're going to hell. Okay? Thank God for Jesus. Oh, you ought to get excited about that. I mean, Episcopalians shout when I say stuff like that. Because when you understand what Jesus did for you, ooh, man, He don't hold any sin against you. Okay, so when it talks about you won't inherit the kingdom of God, it's just talking about you won't inherit God's ways of doing things. I mean, you won't inherit the peace of God. Now listen to me, if you're saved though, yeah, you'll bust heaven wide open, but you'll bust heaven wide open before you should have. That's why people die. And they die young sometimes, and then everybody gets confused thinking, well, God just needed another angel in heaven. When they don't understand, no, God didn't need you back in heaven. He already gave life. It's like that 6-month-old that I did a service for, died of crib death or whatever. Hardest thing I've ever had to do is try to help people understand that God won't give someone life and then take it away. Remember, what we just learned? God is good. The devil is bad. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came. You got to keep reading, y'all. Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. Okay, so if we do something and it's saying that we won't inherit the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean salvation. If you're born again, you need to have the confidence that you're born again. If you make a mistake and you're born again and you die on this earth, then thank God you may not inherit living a long-lasting life, but thank God you're going to go to heaven. But don't use that as then a permission then to sin just because you're born again. No, the Apostle Paul is trying to say, no, the influence in today is trying to get us away from living for God. And we get religiously messed up by some preachers or whatever, religious people that start preaching junk. Well, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin, brother. No, you don't have to, because you've got to understand you're justified by faith. You're acquitted, y'all. You're declared righteous. You're given a right standing with God. You've just got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, that you have the name that's above every name, and you can defeat and say no to sin. Come on. You can say no to it. We've been convinced that, no, that's just part of living in a sinful world. No, no, no. That's why Jesus came, y'all. The power of God, the name that's above every name, has given you the right to say no to sin, that you're going to live in the blessing of God, and you're going to see the manifestations and the results of what you're believing God for. And you don't have to take the devil trying to convince you or influence you that it's just this how you're supposed to be. You was born on the wrong side of the track. No, no. If you were born on the wrong side of the track, it's the perfect track with Jesus. You just got to stop being influenced in the wrong direction and start understanding who you serve. If you make a mistake, God, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. And God throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it. Remember, He remembers it no more as far as the east is to the west. Man, that's a great God that we serve. Who are you influenced by? Who are you being influenced by? TikTok? All those things. I don't know how many. Seth will come in and say, Dad did TikTok. And it'll be him dancing or doing something, you know. Or roping or whatever. I'm okay with those kind of things. But there's some of that stuff that's influencing our kids in a wrong way. Who are we being influenced by? I wrote down just a few things as I close. Check this out. If you look on this phone, you'll see that we're influenced and we're kind of tempted to buy clothes. I mean, it'd do a perfect ad. Trust me, I know, because I have a wife. You are to see our closet. She just said, hush, Corey. If y'all ever come to my house, hey guys, when y'all get married, one day, there's this little corner, which is my side of the closet. There's a room bigger than I was raised in growing up. My bedroom. That is my wife's. It's amazing. It's the blessing of God for her. Amen? And I'm okay with that. But a lot of times we're influenced how to buy clothes, makeup, cars. Oh man, I don't know what we're going to do when John retires here in a week or two. From the Ford place in Marble Falls, because he's been, I don't know how many, I've probably bought over 20 vehicles from him, if not more, and sent a lot of business, hopefully, to that company. And there's some marketing schemes. I mean, what do they teach a good salesman? How to close, right? Again, all I'm saying is, how are we being influenced? Ephesians chapter 5 says this, be followers of Christ. Man, we need to be influenced in the right way. We've got to be so discerning on what is influencing us and our children, because this is the greatest influencer of all. I so enjoy when the Brewer family, they told me that about 20 of those football players do a little, do a Bible study at school. And you want to talk about take some guts with the persecution nowadays? All the things they're trying to push on us, the influence on them to accept all kinds of things that grandma and grandpa taught against. They knew it was wrong back when, and now it's become right. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. How a man can say that he wants to be a woman, do a few things, and then kicks their rear in swim meets, in women's sports. Well, I just happen to be a cowboy that almost stand up against what I believe is not according to the Word of God, and we've got to be bold enough to do it out of love, though. Because we're not against people, we're against the spirit of darkness. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spirit and the principles of darkness. And I'm telling you, we've got to understand what is influencing us today. What is it? Now, if you're a Christian and you sell a product, do it unto the glory of God, because you'll sell more of it by doing it God's way. By just being someone that loves people. You want to sell a product of any kind, you do it in the right way. And watch, God will multiply your business. He will bless it, but don't do it dishonestly. What are we being influenced by? Let's be an imitator of Jesus Christ. He is the greatest influencer. He's got a name above every name. Oh man, he's already seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's seated us in heavenly places. We can have confidence of who we serve. Man, all we got to do is speak to every mountain. If you're upset this morning, you have guilt, you have shame, you've been dealing with some type of sin, you're in the midst of depression, you have anxiety issues, the doctor has told you're going to have to live with some disease or sickness. If you've been convinced by the media that we're going to have to live by a pandemic or a virus, whatever it might be, why don't you decide to tell that devil that you're not going to live that way, you're not going to participate, you're not going to walk in fear, and you're going to live under the blessing of God. And by the way, I'm not against masks. I'm against them telling me I have to wear the thing. I'm not against them, though. If you want to wear one, do it, please. Do it. It does not matter. It's when they come in and they're trying to control us, and we are a free people. Matter of fact, that's what this is. It's freedom. There's freedom, man. There's freedom. It's just going to cause you and I to not be influenced by the world and stay influenced by the Spirit of God. Amen? All right. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Just stand still just for a second. Thank you, Father. Let me deal with something the Spirit of God is wanting to do just real fast. Don't worry about time. We'll get out of here. And I'm seeing a lot of this right now. If you're dealing, and there's someone that is having a pain on their left side in their head, right, and it's almost all the way at the back, but I know where it's starting. It starts in the front. It could be sinus issues. It could be anything. If you're just dealing with something in your head, sinus, any kind of junk like that, just stand up right where you're at. Just stand up. I want to pray for you right now. Stand up. Get up. Anybody else? You're just dealing with something. And I felt it right there on the left side. I want someone just to stand around. If you're close, just lay hands on her and him and her. Anybody else? If you're standing, just real fast. Glory be to God. Father, in Jesus' name, these three or how many ever are standing, even if you're watching and you're dealing with something in the sinus, you've had terrible sinuses. By the way, if you're not standing, get up right now, because that's the act of faith. That's how you'll get healed by the power of God. You stand up and receive this healing in Jesus' name. Every single person that's standing that's been dealing with sinus issues, any kind of pressure on the head, whatever it might be, even if their vertebrae, they're not out, they're out in their neck and their back, Father, I command healing to come forth in Jesus' name. Y'all say amen to that. I thank you, Father, that every person that was standing that needs to just receive this healing, they receive it now without hindrance in Jesus' name. And we give you praise for that. We thank you, Lord, that everything clears up right now. Pain be gone. Head clear up in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. Now, everybody that was standing, just say, I receive that in Jesus' name. All right, now sit down just for a second. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a second, please. Someone in here has just been dealing badly with suicidal thoughts because of some wrongs that has happened to you. And you're almost, this person is listen to me, you're almost past it. You're almost on the other side of this trial. You've had the thoughts of suicide. You've had the thoughts of ending it. The pain has been very bad. No one looking around, just real fast. Whoever that is, God wants to heal and restore you 100%. Not just where you can kind of get by. No, 100%. If that's you, with no one looking around, I want you just to look up. I just want to pray for you. Look up. Okay, I see you, brother. I see you. I knew where it'd be. Okay, I see you. Just look up at me and just make sure I see you. If that's you, and I'm just going to pray for you. No one's looking around. Let me look through. Make sure I see. I got you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I saw you, brother. Well, good. We got you. I got you. Yes, ma'am. I just want to make sure you get eye contact with me. The rest of you, don't look up. Just for a second. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, those ones that you know are dealing with these things, ending it all, the pain's too much. I speak healing, oh glory, in their life right now. They don't deserve the pain. I thank you, Spirit of God, for just engulfing them with love right now. With love, with just wrap your arms around them and let them know that everything is going to be okay. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord, that they're all free right now. Now, y'all that looked up just real fast, every one of you, I just want you to say, under your breath, just say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. I'm talking about if you died and left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. You don't know if you'd go to hell. I want you to choose heaven by choosing Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. And all of us are going to pray this prayer. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer with someone possibly around you that might be praying this prayer for the very first time. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to have you pray it by yourself. We're all going to pray it in here. But if you are asking Jesus to come into your life for the first time, I want you to pray it out loud, and I want you to mean everything that you pray. You ready? And believers in here, we're going to pray it with you. They're going to learn the prayer, of course, so that they can lead others to Jesus at college or at their job or at school or wherever else. But if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Let's all pray it just like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, no one looking around, just real fast. We're not going to say amen yet. If you just prayed that simple prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life for the very first time, if that's you, I want you to be bold right now. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But right where you're sitting, if you just gave your life to Jesus, you're going to go to heaven now. Glory. You can, by the way, you can have heaven here on earth. That's why we come to church. Hopefully, we live by this Bible. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I just want you to be bold enough and not be afraid to declare it before a man. Raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. Most of you know the reason I do that is because Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Don't ever be ashamed, y'all, of giving your life to the Savior, the one we're about to celebrate Christmas, His birth. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, again, when I count to three, get that hand up, put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you. Anybody? All right, look at me. It's an honor to be able to just declare this word with truth. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? The only, just before we're dismissed, tonight, don't miss tonight, starts at 5 o'clock, Christmas concert. Our band will have a steel guitar here. We'll have Edna will be here on the whole band will be here. It's going to be fun. But it starts at, do we have any goodies to, you know, like at 4:30 or something? No? So we're just going to come for the concert. We'll try to have some drinks and stuff. And it's going to be a blast, though. So don't miss it. Repeat after me. Never mind. Yeah. We're going to have fun. And then Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock on Friday. This is Friday. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service. And normally I don't do. I used to let them be with their families. But everybody wants a Christmas Eve. I'm going to teach you something that you might have never heard before about the one that tried to kill our Jesus. And it's going to be very interesting. So don't miss Christmas Eve. Amen. Anything else? No Bible study this coming Tuesday. That's right. Yeah, we need a drummer. If you, we've got, they rotate. We've got Corey that's probably one of the greatest drummers. We give him a break, though, because it's a lot of pressure with what he does in his job. And so, if you have a gift, we're looking for maybe another drummer just to start rotating with. We've got one that's full, you know, that's always here, and one that comes to our church, but a lot of times it's just too busy with his work. So if you know of anybody or just want to be a part of the band, let us know. Come see Ricky. Most of y'all know Ricky was a world champion fiddle player. He played with the Sons of the Pioneers in Branson when I met him. He had his own show in Branson, Missouri. And I asked him one day, come and run the music at my church. And him and his dad was here within about a year and been with me now for about 8 years, being running the music at this church. So glory be to God. All right, stand to your feet. New people, thanks for coming. I pray that if you don't have a church home, that this could be your church home. If not, I pray that you find a good Bible-believing church that you can plant in, because where you're planted, you grow. Amen. Thank you all for being here. I just pray the blessing of God on you. Come tonight for the concert, and it's going to be a good time. And then Christmas Eve, we'll still have our Sunday service as well. Amen. No Bible study, though. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing here. We appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us the food that we need to live in this world, but not of this world. And we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Now, you don't stay here, sir. The Bible says you never leave us and never forsake us. So as we always say every time I'm here, you get to go with us right now. It's an honor to have you with us all week. Until we come back, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.